What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. That's part of the text. Our Lord knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. He knew that he would be betrayed, mocked, insulted, spit upon, scourged, and killed. He wasn't naive. He went. For he also knew that he would rise again, and that his suffering and death and resurrection is the salvation of mankind, the redemption of the world. And so it is that even though he knew what was coming, it did not, it could not stop him. How infinite and unsearchable is the difference that his journey of life, of love, along the ways of sorrows, has made in your own journey. It has opened up the pathway to the heavenly Jerusalem above. But despite the prophets, despite his own clear statements, the disciples did not understand. And so the healing of a certain blind man takes place along the way. There he sat on the wayside on the way to the city that killed the prophets. He was blind and forced to exist off of charity by begging. He was helpless. He had no choices. He could do no work in the ancient world. Living such a miserable life would certainly tempt one to curse God, to reject him and his word, to disbelieve in his love, mercy, and power. But the blind man didn't. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming, his heart leapt within him. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Some would have said to him, give it up, old man. Look at how wretched you are. You've lived all this time, and the Lord has yet to be merciful to you. Why would he start now? The blind man would not be quieted. Faith cannot, will not be quenched. He would not cease his fervent prayer, despite all odds, all reason, all experience. He was brought to believe that God is good. He was brought to cling to the promises in God's word, to the promises about the Messiah, the Son of David, despite even in contradiction of all of the evidence, all of his circumstances. The blind man was brought to trust in the words and promises of God. That is faith. Likewise, scoffers still today, and even you, in the dark, lonely hours of the night by yourself, or even in the broad daylight to others, have said, look at the poor condition of the church. Look at how she has suffered at the hands of those groups that have divided her, all because they care more for God. him and get your own way. Stop telling him what he should do and who he should be. Where were you when he laid the foundations of the world? Repent. Do not blame God for the bad things in this life. It is not he who made the man blind. That was the devil's doing. Even now, whispers in your ear, blaming God for all of his destructive acts. Jesus healed the blind man. It is true that our Lord could stop all suffering, and soon enough, for his elect children, he shall. But for now, in mercy and compassion, he allows suffering. In love, he uses suffering to chastise and strengthen his children, to humble them and draw them closer to himself. He is driven, as always, by mercy. God is good. He did not have to rescue you rebels, but he did. He owes you nothing. He works in his own way and in his own time. You do not tell him who he should be or how he should act, but in mercy, in his word, through his pure doctrine, he tells you who he is. He reveals himself as the gracious, loving, giving God. He is love. And it is his pure doctrine that reveals that love. That's why it's fought for. So that his love isn't profane and perverted. He is love that never fails. He is the love that is spoken of in the epistle text. We try to tell people, when you go to that text, insert Christ crucified where it says love. And it opens the scriptures to you. He demonstrates this never-failing love to those who he brings to see by faith. He did not leave the blind man in his sad state a minute longer than he had to. That's the blind man if he's upset. He's not. He does not sulk and say, well, it took you long enough. But instead, he follows Jesus. He rejoices. He glorifies and praises God for his love and mercy. Why? Because God used this blindness for good. Not simply for short-term contentment, but for eternity. The blind man receives more than physical sight. He also receives spiritual sight. His eyes are open. He sees clearly. He sees that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the son of David, greater than Solomon, the one who has come to rescue him. He sees that this healing, restoring, merciful man is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He sees in Jesus his distant kinsman, a son of Adam, who did all that Adam failed to do, and who allowed the law to do to him all that it should have done to Adam. To him and to you, the blind not punishment for sin. Our Lord took all of the punishment for sin. The Father's wrath is completely appeased. There's nothing left to pay. The law is satisfied. He allowed the blindness for a time so that the blind man and you would know his power and mercy. For if the blind man had not been brought to know God's power and mercy, then even if he had enjoyed a luxurious life of sight, faring sumptuously every day and having a great many pleasures for the eye, nonetheless, if he had not been brought to know God's power and love and mercy and forgiveness of sins, he would have been the most pathetic of men, for he would have been damned. So thank God for the blindness. For with the blindness came healing. Healing that endures beyond the grave. Sight beyond seeing. Life beyond death. And peace beyond understanding. With the healing came the revelation. God is merciful. God is love. That is why Jesus must go to Jerusalem and die. He goes there to take the blind man's blindness into himself, to crucify it, and give to the man sight. He says to his disciples, "Look here, this is what I am all about. This is why I came. This is what I do. This is why I go. To give sight to the blind, healing to the sick, life to the dead, and hope to the sorrowful. I have come to seek and to save, to mend the broken hearts and restore all things. I have come to build a kingdom in the hearts of those who believe in me. When I am lifted up on the cross in Jerusalem, I shall draw all men unto myself." And so you eat this day not the bread of the earth, but the bread of heaven, crucified and risen, the fruit of the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. For under the bread, hidden from those who will not see by faith, those blind disciples of the devil, under the bread is the word that proceedeth from the mouth of God by which men live. The word made flesh, the word that creates, consoles, and comforts, the word that heals the gaping self-inflicted wounds of sinful flesh, the word that has conquered the grave, removed death's sting, and risen again to life, the word that makes glad and clean the hearts of men. Here, O pilgrims, is food from home to sustain you on your journey, despite the scoffers and mockers, because God has brought some through time to fight for his pure doctrine. Because of that, you are still able to hear the true word of God, the unperverted word, to have your eyes rightly open. Because of that fight that God has brought about in others generations before you, Jesus is here in his church. He lavishly, graciously bestows his gifts, his perfect love for you here city that is yet to come. In this way, you proclaim his death, his journey to Jerusalem until he comes again. Here he swears allegiance to you, and you, your confession of him and of his word. Soon the clouds shall lift. Soon you shall see clearly. And then with you all men shall bow their knees and say, Jesus, the Son of David, is Lord. Jesus went to Jerusalem to die because his love could not be contained. He continues to be poured out unto you, and your cups overflow. Here is perfect love that will not fail. Perfect love that continues to come through God's word properly proclaimed and his holy sacraments rightly administered. Though the trials go on, though the great struggles of the church, and through the great struggles of the why question continue, our Lord brings you to see him. Our Lord gives you eyes of faith that see through the suffering. Does he understand what you are going through? Does he? Does he understand what you are going through? And the answer is right there. He opens your eyes and fixes them on how he took it all upon himself. He came to defeat what is trying to master you. And it always comes back to sin. As strange as it may sound, blessed be the struggles, for they reveal your wretched state. To make sense of the suffering of the Savior means being brought to recognize and believe, as the blind man, that you need rescue from your own depth of depravity. Only those who know their need will be able to say, his suffering is for me. Here is the faith which the cross both demands and delivers. So along comes your Savior, who fixes your questionable eyes to see that he has taken care of you and continues to care for you, showering upon you the very mercy that you are in so desperate need.